This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But you never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? Rangnick's Red Army, sir, on the road. Big result at Carroll Road against the Canaries. The Yellows, Norwich City, sir. They made it tough for us at times. Took a Ronaldo penalty. Took De Gea. Magic. Dave saves. Some big saves in the second half. Look better at times. Look like some same old at times. But you know what? It's a results-based business, and we needed a big 3 points. We got a big 3 points and a clean sheet. On to the next one. How are we feeling?
You just need to pick up those 3 points. That is what it is all about. You can't cover up. It was ugly. It was raining. It was cold. Slopshop.com having a Black Friday sale here on horrible football. We are all over the place. It looks terrible at times. You're like, who's our manager? It felt like the ghost of Ole's past was on the touchline today. And it's, these are one of these things. You can't change it overnight. You're going to regress. You're going to make progress. You're going to regress. As long as there's a linear, you can see the lads playing better over time. But it wasn't even the encouraging 30 minutes we saw in the last two games to start and then kind of fading. This was just, look, Norwich are up for it. They haven't been playing. They're obviously in the relegation zone, but as of late, they haven't been playing terrible. They got Dean Smith, new manager. They looked like they wanted to play a game, and we too easily gave the ball away and were exposed at the back. And, you know, if they had some better finishers, more ruthless talent up front, it could have been 3 to Norwich. Obviously, if we were more ruthless, it could have been 3 to Manchester United. But it was one of those games where Rangnick preaches control, and I felt like we couldn't grab control of this match.
Most importantly, yeah, it's definitely true. Most importantly, because the whole front four seemed out of sorts. Every time we did get the opportunity to break on Norwich, passes were off. We were just giving it away too easily. Slop Shop City. I can only imagine what the completion percentage on our passing was at certain points in that first half. But it's not all going to gel together overnight. Norwich came out with fight in their step. They are very much in it. You know, they are not a dead duck yet, even though coming into today, they were bottom of the table. I think like when we headed into the weekend, there's only 3 points out of the drop they had to go. So a lot of season for them, playing at home, and we kind of look like we're still trying to figure out the new Rangnick ball. You know, we didn't really press nearly as well as we did on the time when we played Palace a week ago, especially when all these players got a blow, right? Just about everybody got a rest because of all the changes made against Young Boys midweek. So would have liked to see a better performance. Dave really did keep it clean sheet, right? He's like a normal keeper.
Concedes
one goal, sorry. Man of the match again. But big 3 points. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining because guess what happened?
David De Gea has saved us.
And that's it.
I mean, you're right. That's the big takeaway. It was a cold, rainy, sloppy match. Tough at times. Needed the penalty call. I'm going to say that was generous.
Thank you.
We'll take it. We'll take it. And that's the difference. But to be able to hold the clean sheet, arguably, Norwich should have had at least one. De Gea, world-class, again, bailing us out. And I think this is where, you know, I was disappointed, really disappointed. Coming into this game, you have rest. Rangnick has more time with the lads. They got to come out. They got to show you at least a solid 25 of how they want to play. I get getting tired. I get fitness and sort of reverting back. But to not show up, like, we really laid an egg. This was like the type of eggs we were laying under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and getting away with it for too long. So a little concerning for me. You know, this is just one of those things where it's early. I'm going to reserve judgment. I'm going to put those 3 points in my pocket. I'm going to give the lads a pass. I'm giving this manager a pass. But, man, you like to see that 30 turn into 35, turn into 40, 45, et cetera. And, you know, didn't make the subs when we needed to. I felt like things just were a little complacent today, Norwich away. And this is a bad Norwich side. It's another thing we have to discuss is that obviously they've been playing okay coming in, but a horrible team that Manchester United, even not on our best day, should be doing much better than what we did. And so it's just one of those things where a little nervy, A little nervy for Manchester United at the moment, but you can't get yourself down too much. Fixtures are coming tight and fast, and this is the holiday season when it comes to football in England. It's like 3 points. All right, wasn't great. Next one, let's go. I think rotation will help. I hope Rangnick can keep his head above water because we need to be winning these games. These points are critical. This is a huge three today. Can't understate how big this 3 points was. I thought it was going to be easy today, and boy, it was like, sir, by the hair on our chinny chin chin.
So they know there's no easy games in the Premier League anymore. It just doesn't happen. So today kind of illustrated a couple things. First of all, this Rangnick revolution is not going to happen overnight. This is going to take a while. You could tell based on today, because I think the thing that was frustrating was like, we didn't create enough. It's one thing to like, okay, you didn't always play great football, but we had a lot of the ball, and like we had ball in opportunities to break on them, which is like where we've often looked the most dangerous, the most exciting. And we look so disjointed that you almost think of like, I think the players were overthinking things today. You know, they've been given a lot of new instructions, a new approach to the system. And I think maybe it's just like, he hasn't had enough time to implement what he's trying to do. Part of it is just like, hey, think about the game cadence. That was the problem with making the decision when they did. They didn't have that international break to get some actual training in at the training ground. Now, one thing we're going to get, we have two games coming, and then there's actually a relative lull of like 9 or 10 days because we got knocked out of the EFL Cup. So if we can like get, if we can keep it going for Brentford and Brighton, right, it's a good time to kind of lick our wounds and figure it out for another push over the holidays.
And that's a good point, because it's sort of 1 foot in, 1 foot out as far as the Rangnick system, because a lot of the pressure we invited playing that back pass and then kind of screwing it up from there, not being able to play it out. And that started really early in the game. And then late in the game, it looked like Norris was doing the gang impress and we were just drowning. So it's the type of football Rangnick wants to play. You can't be 75% committed. It's got to be all in. It's all in. You got to trust the teammates around you that everyone's going to do their job. We're obviously not at that level yet, but you can sort of see the fits and starts of it and how it almost invites more pressure as it breaks down. But sir, we got a quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils and you want to support independent fan content, check us out on Patreon. Please check out our website, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We have no private sponsors on this podcast. This is a fan, for fan, by fan organization. We want to be supported by you, the fans. No private corporate interests. You know, trying to get the Glazers to go that way with Manchester United. Unfortunately, they decided not to. You can support us via four tiers. We're giving away pin stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. It's a great way to support this small-time operation. We want to keep it that way. Stay true to the roots. Keep it authentic, sir. We don't want all this big corporate sponsorship money going to our heads. You know, that's just something we don't want here at the American Red Devils. Also, check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have great fan-generated blog content. Just posted a bunch of awesome iPhone and desktop wallpapers there. You can click on wallpapers. Click on store. We have hoodies, beanies, blankets, you name it. We got it all in stock. Great deals for the holiday season. Check out our store. Everything you buy supports this podcast and you get something cool. Please check it out. Sir, give them iTunes reviews.
Another great way to support the pod without spending any money at all is write a 5-star review on iTunes. And it has cheeky banter, even better. What we're doing is we're doing a giveaway, sir. If you send in a screenshot of a 5-star review to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devils swag, send it straight to your door anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, I'm telling you, we'll send it global. And great reviews like this. Here we go. Top show from Led Devil. These dudes are my go-to for all insight, recap, and commentary on all things Man United. I've listened to many different pods covering United, and these two easily are head and shoulders above everything out there. Now I look forward to every podcast drop, and I'm looking forward to the coverage of all things Rangnick, sir. Thank you so much for the good review. Thank you for all the reviews. And like I said, we're giving away swag. Great way to support the pod, sir. Holidays, get it in. Get it in before the holidays. Great gift. I'll tell you what, the knitted hat, the blanket, they are fire.
Hey, and if you want Alex to speed read your review with no
punctuation at all,
No
time for that. We got to talk about Norwich, baby.
Sir, I could not translate what you just read there.
Can you read it faster?
No punctuation. Let's go. Let's jump into the match today. Let's break it down. Norwich 0, Manchester United 1. at Carroll Road, or rainy Carroll Road, as to be expected. The new Dean Smith at the helm there. It was the 16th game week in the English Premier League, sir. Not quite halfway through, but we are getting there. Let's start off with that lineup. We had Dave Sayers, world number one in net. Tell us more about Tellus at left back. Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing. Dalot on the right. Fred, McTominay, center back pairing. We had Fernandez and Sancho. Ronaldo, Rashford in the 4-2-2-2. What did you think of that lineup?
Sir, I mean, when I saw it, it was not too surprising, given that we saw so many changes midweek. I was like, hey, this is the team. Tellus and Dalot, you know, it's like a heavy Brazilian-Portuguese connect. I thought they were going to come off today. And they came out sort of like they played this 11 midweek. Yeah, they looked, I don't know, we looked like pooped. Maybe they're working them too hard in practice already. But I don't know.
No, it's soft mentality. This team has not been able to consistently show up for however long. I mean, honestly, like, how many times is a big match we come out first 20, just bottled it? Like, the whole turning up thing for this team is going to take time. It's going to take us getting rid of certain players. But looking at this 11, I liked it on paper. But after watching, you have to think the Sancho Rashford there, Donny playing with Fernandez sort of in the 2-10s might be better because you could get more control of the game. I feel like that's where we kind of lost it, was Sancho Rash with the ball going forward, Rashford being Rash, Fernandez as well. So it's almost like we're reverting back to that four up front and then the midfield two with that big space that we kind of get beat. You know, we could use a more, you know, I think Donny maybe playing him in at the 10 there. That might be, create a little more control in the game, because you know Bruno's going to venture forward, but him and Sancho, that creates that space. And then we know how Fred and McTominay do there. They kind of get hung out to dry.
And they also, let's just get out of the game. I mean, they didn't connect well in the game. Ronaldo didn't come off until he actually got the penalty. He wasn't playing very well. We had a number of chances to kind of open them up, create even opportunities. And it, as we go through this, there weren't even that many opportunities, because when we got the ball, we gave it away so cheaply. You know,
sir, take us through the first half.
Sir, United came out a bit sleepwalking, not much doing. And like I said, you're going to use this phrase, sloppy Joe passing. But there was a chance, 15th minute from a free kick. Tellus hits the bar just outside of the box. Cruel. He popped up early. Sir, I knew he was going to have a presence today. Cruel. He's always a troll against United.
There were some good chances early, but you know, it just wasn't that sustained level of energy and intensity in their half, kind of like we saw against Crystal Palace. That was really kind of what got us all fired up. Did not have that today, but we did have a few good opportunities. 25th minute, Rashford goes down too easily from a short pull. Again, this whole like looking for the foul thing, it was poor. And this one was bad. Rashford,
he probably had a good chance. If he actually stayed up, he probably could have taken a shot.
You're never getting that as a pen either when you stop. So it's sort of, he has to commit there. Even if he can't get there, that this was soft from him. And that's what I'm trying to say. It's like there's a little bit of, when Ronaldo originally came to Manchester United, there was some softness about him. They had to kick it out of him on the training pitch. It wasn't easy. It was sort of a hazing thing. This squad's got some softness about it, they honestly. Do. The Harry Maguire going down late, last man back, trying to get a foul. It's like, no. Don't go down. Don't hunt for fouls late in games. Stay up. You know, sir, I don't need to tell you. You know what it is. Give us some more about the first half.
Sir, you don't need to tell us. Started playing. Actually, United, a little bit of good football at the end. 37th minute, Krul comes up with a decent save as things were starting to come together. And at the very end, Krul came up with a big save on Maguire from this, like, looping header that actually looked like English Harry Maguire. So 0-0 going into halftime. Sir, what do you think Rangnick was telling the boys? Because whatever he told them going into the first half, I feel like they were listening to a Norwegian, not a German.
I felt like this was probably, I mean, I think Rangnick knows not to tear into him too much, but he has to be upset about that. That was a horrible, everything he's trying to do, that was bad. It was like bad back passes, De Gea conceding a corner, just like disorganized, no one's on the same page.
Not
obviously going
enough.
Forward, we can have opportunities. Rashford will get one, create a free kick, etc. We're always gonna have that with the talent, but you know, you want to go from hero ball to a system that will just generally work and provide results over the long term. It's gonna take some time. Coming out second half, more of the same. We were dying for a sub here again. Rangnick kind of left it late. 57th minute, Dave saves another great save from David De Gea. He'll have three of them in this half, keeping us in it from Pookie. 63rd minute, United waste a great opportunity on the break. Again, the front four just look out of sync. We're not, you know, we're just not as tidy with our passing all around the pitch.
No, we weren't. And I you know, Ronaldo looked kind of like the guy that was out of sorts today. I kind of like the idea of that front two that you'd said, Sancho and Rashford, right? You know they're going to hold him the ball. You know they can break for speed, and then having another kind of possession man behind him instead of Sancho as that guy and Donny. But, you know, Ronaldo came valuable a little bit later, sir. But like you said, wasted the chance. Finally makes a sub. I think he was seeing it. Nothing good was happening in that front four. So 67th minute, Greenwood comes on for Sancho. 73rd minute.
Hold on. Sancho looked like he had, like, the meat sweats.
They all did. They all looked like a little beat.
I don't want to go into, like, full Muppet analysis here, but there's certain sweat that looks like guy ate, like, In-N-Out Burger last night. You know, it's like it looks like he's out of shape. Sancho definitely looks a little, like, fitness is an issue for him. I think it's just going to take time. It makes sense. You go through a big move, then you come in. He doesn't get a lot of minutes. So I think fitness for Sancho, when he gets fit, you see him at Dortmund. He's lights out. Doesn't look like that. Doesn't look like that coming off for Dortmund.
No.
He looked like he was like, get me out of here.
He was like scored and assisted in every
game.
It would
be like you out there, sir. After eating that ham for Thanksgiving the next day, you'd be sweating. Exactly. You get the meat sweats.
We just didn't look like a team that had a week off.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's absolutely right. 73rd minute sub by for Lindelof goes down, kind of pointing at his chest. Apparently, he had a collision that Regna commented in post game. Either way, you know, hope Lindelof is okay.
Yeah, scary stuff there. So Baye comes in. Always like to see Eric Baye. Sir, he's a madman.
He should be starter. Him and Lindelof look like to be the two. I mean, honestly, if Lindelof is healthy right now, if you look at the Rangnick system, who's going to be up there? Who's going to be brave? Those two. Harry Maguire looked a little out of sorts today.
He did.
He had some good challenges, but again, not enough consistency from the Manchester United captain. But sir, at this point in the game, it's rough. We got to steal it, sir. Sometimes you got to rob the bank. Let's go to the 73rd minute.
Tominay, they stand off momentarily. Ronaldo went to ground. And he's given a penalty, has he? Ronaldo has been fouled. And
has he? Has he?
There's a pen.
Just say penalty. Penalty to Manchester United.
They can't help it.
Let's take another look. Yeah, he wasn't pressed at all. McTominay, Sargent was slow getting out to him, and it's Ronaldo's appeal, I think.
How about that's a foul?
Picks up on, you can't see from that whether or not
these guys are
contact was initiated by the defender, or Ronaldo's gone to ground too easily. Ronaldo scored the winner from the spot against Arsenal. 16 minutes remaining. Ronaldo for Manchester United. Thunders it into the back of the net. He wins the penalty and he scores the penalty. 13 goals for the season in all competitions for Cristiano Ronaldo. And as we approach the final 15 minutes, the deadlock is broken. Norwich City 0, Manchester United 1.
I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
Sir, sometimes you just need to get away with one look. The commentary from those two guys, and it's just like, first of all, it's a penalty question mark. It's like, if that's against Mohamed Salah, oh my god, it's a penalty. If you're a commentator, you just have to hold your bias. You know, obviously, you got the Chelsea Lasso. He's like, oh, Ronaldo went down easily. He got absolutely yanked down. I mean, like, what are you talking about? This is the type of penalty that they should be calling more. He was clearly there, could have got the header, gets ripped down. This isn't called enough. The fact that commentators are that biased, it's only against United, the European champions.
It's only NBC Sports.
Step up to the plate.
It's Muppets, like they're just the channel is dissolving in like 20 days. Oh, you know that, right? Like NBC Sports will cease to exist.
Yeah, being replaced by Peacock, which is even better, sir. All let's get through this match. Dave saves 77th minute. I mean, this is the one.
This is the big one.
The one-hander reaction. Like,
right after we score.
Unbelievable. And then Norwich coming on. This is when they were ganging pressing us up the wazoo. So Norwich comes close again. Nervy stuff from United that they really couldn't finish or just get a clean chance off. 86th minute, great chance for Ronaldo. Rashford made a good run, pulled it back. A little far behind Ronaldo's left foot, could not get it on target. And we knew they were going to keep pouring it on. 92nd minute, another great De Gea save. But the Norwich player was offsides, likely offsides, didn't get called. And then that was it. So not confident, but sometimes you got to steal. You got to steal 3 points when it's not your day. Three games into this new manager, he's had a solid win against Crystal Palace. Arguably should have been more. Then we basically have the testimonial against Young Boys. That's a write-off.
That was like the game at Levi's,
and then we have a poor performance where we steal three.
Take it all day, though.
I mean, sir.
6 points.
I'll take it. I'm just telling you.
No, that was not great today.
Like,
we have, like, but this is one of the pitfalls of making the decision when they did. They made the decision, like, first game out of international break. Sir, no time to impact. He's been here for 10 days.
I'm not criticizing Rangnick with that. I'm just saying that, you know,
even wasn't great from the team.
You know, usually you get, like, a little more of a jump from the lats. I'm more criticizing the players. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more, I'm not saying Rangnick can sort it in three games. I'm saying usually you get a new manager, you get like that jump from the players. And it's like, we got 30 minutes to jump and then you have it a week off and we got no jump. And it's like, that makes me worried about the players.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get into it in the news, but you know, Sir Alex Ferguson protected that locker room. Like, it meant everything. The attitude about that locker room, sort of the loyalty, the commitment to the squad. I think we've had too many of these players phoning it in, and that impacts a dressing room. I think you have to get that mentality right. You know, not shipping Pogba when he has a bad attitude, not shipping Lingard when he doesn't want to be there, not shipping Martial if he's not all in. These half in, half out guys, I got to go. We need everyone buying in. And, you know, some players that you're going to see, like, I think Lindelof's really bought in to Rangnick. I mean, that's a positive. You see all this, you see positives from certain players.
Like,
other players go south, you know? Tell us.
Dalot. Right? McTominay, even. They all look ready to step up and excited about Sancho. It's going to take a while, but there's a cult coming. There's like a massive purge that needs to happen anyway. It needed to happen anyway. That's one of the reasons this team.
Well, it's never happened.
That's one of the reasons this team hasn't performed well in the first place, right? Because Phil Jones is still freaking here. So is Jesse Lingard. Paul Pogba should have been shipped, like you said, over a year ago. We should have never bought him in the first place. Let's be honest. Who else, sir? Like, Martial isn't going to make it, has to go now. It's like, so there's all these players that he has to get rid of, get in players. Like, we'll talk about when we get to the news, sir, but like, you need players that are just like revved up to play for Manchester United first and foremost, and you don't need to like convince them that they are.
Well, there's a little bit of that about around this team.
Yes.
That when they can't, like, a group of like great professional footballers who like, just like when they play for England, they can turn up, but when they play for Manchester United, it's like, it's hard. So let's get into the stats. Shots, Manchester United with 13 and Norwich is 11. Shots on target, 5-5. That's the type of game it was. Possession, 54% to 46. Sir, the passes, we don't talk about that often, but it was 492 to 426. Interesting. Like, it was even, very even match away. And if you're Manchester United playing, are they last place, right?
They were last place. Yes, they were last place headed into today, at least.
Yes, they are last place. You're playing the worst team in the league. You should have a little more than that.
3x fouls, though. That's something. They had 6. We had 17. You know, that's something.
You're beating them somewhere.
Beating them up.
Match reaction. No player has scored more winning goals in the Premier League this season than Cristiano Ronaldo, who has 4, who's level with Bernardo Silva, while only Jamie Vardy's goals, 8 points, have been worth more points for his side than Ronaldo's 7 points. I mean, Ronaldo, that's in the Premier League. And, oh, by the way, you look at the Champions League, he's the best in the world as far as late goals that get you results. Ronaldo's been the man for Manchester United this year. And Ralf Rangnick is the second Manchester United manager to register a clean sheet in his first 2 Premier League games in charge of the club after Ernest Magnall in 1903, sir. We all know him from the history pods.
Yes, we do.
Check him out if you haven't. And Cristiano Ronaldo is the 3rd player to score for 3 different Manchester United managers, Solskjaer, Carrick, and Rangnick in a single season after James Hansen and Joe Spence did so in 1926-27 under Chapman, Hilditch, and Bamlett. We talked Bamlett.
That's a trivia question,
dude. We talked Bamlett, baby. We know Bamlett. Yeah, we love going through the United Chapman. History pause. 1926-27.
That was rough. That was dark. That was a dark period.
That was a very dark, dark period. All right, let's hear what we're talking about the manager a lot. Let's hear from the man. What do you think about this performance?
I mentioned that a couple of times, body language. What was wrong with the body language? Yes, of course. Some of our players are technical players, and today there was not so much space for technical solutions. And then you need to, you need to be physically brave and more and compete on that kind of level with regard to physicality. And this this was something that we didn't do on all positions.
So I wondered. I mean, it looked a lot less aggressive a performance compared to Crystal Palace. Was that deliberate, or was that something that disappointed you?
No, it was not deliberate. We intended to play like that, but it was an away game today, and the other team played much more aggressive than Crystal Palace did against us, and therefore we need to raise our level of intensity in games like that.
So how hard will that be to get some of those attacking players up to that level of aggressiveness?
It's not only a question of individual players, it's how we play together as a team, but of course it's also a question of who wins balls. What about the second balls? Do we get the second balls? And as I said, it was not on each position, it was not the same.
Do you learn more in a way from an evening like this one than you did against Crystal Palace? Tell you more about your team?
Yes, you learn with every game, but still at least we got the 3 points, another clean sheet. But we need to improve. We need to get better, that's for sure. And again, on Tuesday, the next away game, difficult one. I saw Brentford yesterday against Watford. This will be another challenge for us.
Need to improve. Need to get better. Got 3 points in a clean sheet, but need to improve. Need to get better. Rangnick delivering some straight talk, sir. I like it. It's refreshing, but you know, not a lot to say right now. We shall see. Brentford, big game.
Dude, I mean, I watched them yesterday. They look good. You know, they came back, got a big result yesterday, and they're going to come out with a lot of piss and vinegar. So we know what to expect. They have one extra day off than we do, and it's a quick turnaround. And he's not going to have a lot of time to get whatever he's trying to get through to the players. And it's not going to be like last time where he's going to switch up the whole 11, right? Like, he's going to have to play Bruno and, you know, Harry. And so we'll see. So it's exciting because we got plenty of football coming up, but the pressure's on. But the fact is Rangnick has done well thus far, all things considered. Result against Palace, that was a tough one, right? Fred with a scoop, and then today with a pen. But hey, it's 6 points, and that's all that matters.
It's all that matters until you lose. Speaking of drop points, let's look at the table here, sir. Given we're in crisis mode this year, we're breaking our golden rule, not looking at it till after Christmas. United in fifth with 27 points, sir. West Ham in fourth with 27 points, but they do have game in hand. They have played 15. I guess they play tomorrow. Chelsea in third with 36, and they got bailed out with a stoppage time penalty against Leeds today. Scouse Bastards with 37. Man Shitty with 38. I mean, 11 off the pace. Really, that's not horrid. It's a long December. Obviously, we have to play better than we did against Norwich, but we're right in the mix. Fifth place. Below us, you got Arsenal with 26, Tottenham with 25, and then you get a jump down Wolves in eighth with 21. So winning these games, the consistency of putting up these points is what is going to matter for Manchester United. We could be in third to start the new year if we have an amazing run under Rangnick. But today, I'm going to say step back. Crystal Palace, small step forward, actually big step forward. And then today it was a big step back. So I think we're even. Rangnick's got to go to the drawing board and everything to play for against Brentford, sir. Let's get into our next match. That's right. Brentford versus Manchester United at the Brentford Community Stadium, sir. It's a new stadium. They came up this past season after playing in the big match coming out of the championship, sir. They won it. Unbelievable. They lost it the prior year to Fulham. And they come in. Brentford's sort of the new kids on the block. They look great. Match is Tuesday, December 14th, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Lifetime versus Brentford. We've won 6, drawn 2, lost 5. First time we ever played them was January 14th, 1928, sir. We beat them 7-1 in the FA Cup. Everyone remembers that big victory. Last time we played them, 1975. We have a lot of dubs against Brentford. Coming into this match, Brentford, they drew Newcastle 3-3. They beat Everton 1-0. They lost to Tottenham 2-0. Tied Leeds 2-2. Beat Watford 2-1.
Big game yesterday.
I mean, they're always in it.
They're going to be tough, dude. They're a tough team to play. They're going to be just like today's game. You know, compact, exciting going forward. They're hard to break down, right? they're a good team. They're hitting above their weight. They're better than Norwich. And the next two teams we play are 9th and 10th in the Premier League in Brentford and Brighton, sir. These are tough matches. One on the road. It's going to be a full house, sir. People pumped up for the holidays. And the boys need to show up, right? Because today we didn't show up. We don't show up against Brentford. We go down early.
Nicknamed the Bees, the club was founded in 1889. They play home matches at the Griffin Park from 1904 before moving to the Brentford Community Stadium in 2020, soon to be renamed with some corporate sponsor. Their main rivals are fellow West London clubs Fulham and Queen's Park Raisins, sir. Brentford initially played amateur football before they entered the London League in 1896 and finished as runners-up in the second division and then the first division to win election to the Southern League in 1898. The club enjoyed a successful spell in the top flight of English football, reaching a peak of fifth in the first division in 1935-36, their highest ever league finish, before three relelegations left them in the fourth division in 1962. Brentford have a poor record in finals, finishing runners-up in three Associate Members Cup Football League Trophy Finals 1985, 2001, 2011, and losing four playoff finals. The 1997 Second Division Final, the 2002 Second Division Final, the 2013 League One Final, and the 2020 Championship Final. But they did win the 2020 Championship Final to be promoted to the Premier League for the first time since 1946-47. Unbelievable story. They have a Danish frontman, Danish coach. They're sort of the I watched a documentary on Brentford. They're kind of like the Moneyball, where instead of having a youth academy, the U23s, U18s, like the traditional English setup, they have a Brentford B team. And the Brentford B team is basically like age agnostic. So if they get an injury, they just go grab someone from the B team. And everyone in the B team is trying to make it to the A team. Tons of competition. So there's no youth academy, really. Youth academy pyramid is essentially two teams, lots of pros competing for their first spot. I thought that was an interesting take. It's obviously worked very well. They sold a bunch of players as well. It's sort of this creating a farm league. And now other teams are starting to do it where they're actually playing their B team against other B teams. I thought it was interesting. You could probably find that on YouTube if you want to hear more about how Brentford sort of changed the system a little bit, but it has been successful. I think other teams are going to pick that up with that B team sort of system. They've been playing the 3-5-2. Sir, as far as anyone on here, I don't know anyone on Brentford. They do have a striker, but he didn't play most recently. As far as fantasy Premier League, everyone's been picking up that Brentford striker.
Janssen, I know Janssen, and I think he's done well, right? He scored a bunch of fantasy points. Dude, they are a well-organized team, well-drilled, compact. They're going to be hard to break down. They're going to be tough in the midfield, and they're going to be tough at home, right? Because they're like one of those teams that's up in the league. Just being in the Premier League is a big deal for them.
Well, they bossed Arsenal at home, right? So they're always up for a match. And game. I think these, like, you know, Brentford is 10th right now. And they're first time in the English Premier League. They look like they're here to stay. And like I said, they're going to be a tough, tough team. Sir, the American Red Devil scouting report begs a lot to be included in it, but at the end of the day, I don't got time to watch Brentford. We got like if you play like that against Norwich, you're like, it ain't Brentford that's the problem. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you
at the end of the day, it doesn't matter
who's gonna play for Brentford. It's like we gotta sort it, turn up for a match. Injury room. This is getting long here. Pogba, Varane, Cavani, Wan-Bissaka, Matic, Martial, Mata, Lindelof now. Lot of injuries in a critical time. It's almost like it just everything turned around. As far as the Pogba's going to return January 10th when he signs his new deal. Varane, Cavani, they're on the edge. They keep getting pushed back a week. Wan-Bissaka, he's day to day. Modish is day to day. Martial, nobody knows. Mata, no return. Lindelof, no one knows. So, not a good sign if you're looking at United with that performance. These injuries piling up. It's going to be tough for Rangnick. You know, it's going to be a tough set of fixtures, and we're expecting a lot of points here. Given those injuries, what is your lineup?
These next two games are going to be really challenging because they're much better opponents than, I would say, Norwich or Palace. But, sir, here we go. De Gea, Ned, Delo, Baye, Maguire, Shaw, Matic, Donny van de Beek, Bruno. I'm going to do a front three of Greenwood, Cavani, Ahmad. Let's go.
So I got Dave saves rule number one in net. Delo, Baye, Maguire, Telles. I think I'm going to keep Delo with Telles. He looks so good. I'm going to do Fred, Donny. I'm going to do Bruno, Sancho, Greenwood, Cavani in the 4-2-2-2. It's going to be something close to that, sir. like starting to, now the injuries are kind of pushing it. I don't even know if Cavani's going to be back, but I saw a lot of training photos. So I have to think he should be able to feature or even come off the bench. You know, we got Ronaldo, we got Cavani, sir. We have options, Rashford as well.
Varane. I mean, Varane makes a huge difference, right? The team just looks so much more stable when he plays in the back.
Yeah, it could, they could be saving him for Brighton as well.
Yep.
I mean, that's an option. Booking the bookies, Manchester United are favorites, minus 155, the draw plus 320, Brentford to win plus 410. Heavy favorites for Manchester United. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction, sir? I think we said 4-0. You're going to smack Norwich, right?
Nah. 1-0. Manchester United. It's going to be another close match. And just because I can only imagine what the odds are, penalty. Another penalty. What do you got, sir?
Sir, I'm going to call it because I don't want to see it. I hate to say it, but look, right now, I look at that Norris performance. I look at the tight turnaround. I look at those injuries. I look at Brentford playing well, and they're just going to come out with piss and vinegar.
Oh, my God, they are.
I think it's like probably 3-1 Brentford. I think this is going to be like a...
Oof.
I just don't. It's one of those things where if we gave 30 against, we had a week of rest. We had a lot of good players in there, and we had nothing to say against Norwich. How are we going to expect to turn up away against a team that's better? You know, if you're really looking in the mirror, sir.
Well, I mean, I would imagine that Rangnick should be giving the boys a bollocking for not showing up today. Kind of proving out that today was not good enough. You know, whereas maybe a typical United, maybe under the old reign, would be able to hold their heads up high and be like, hey, we won today. You know, I hope Rangnick will keep them in their feet on the ground. Like, boys, today was not good enough.
And well, he might rotate.
A much better team. He's going to need to rotate. Because no, but
you could rotate heavy, like almost throw away Brentford to try to beat Brighton. You know what I'm saying? It's like, at this point, you have to think 4 points from these two games is a win.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you have to start thinking like that a little bit here because you can't throw the kitchen sink at Brentford and not get anything. So you almost have to try to, and this is where with Rangnick, I don't know if he's practical enough to be like, hey, send out a heavily rotated squad and defend. He's not going to do that. He wants to play the same way no matter what. So it's in England in the holidays, you kind of need a little of that. You need a little shithouser to get away with the one. You look at Chelsea getting that penalty in the 92nd minute. That's huge. Even us getting the penalty today. These are the difference makers usually when you're going for top four titles, these types of games.
And also his ability to manage the squad is going to be huge, right? So this test is coming up. This like 3 games, 10 days kind of thing. Not even 10, 8 days. So this will be very interesting, especially after a poor performance, you know, not a poor result, right? It's a great result, 3 points. But I would imagine you could tell by the presser, sir, this guy is not, he's not only Mr. Nice Guy. Like he was not happy with what he saw today. You could tell that. And I imagine he's going to make the players know that like that was not good enough. So you expect to see some changes. I hope some of the youngsters that really had an impact against Young Boys, and I know Brentford is a much better team than Young Boys. I hope he's a little bit more adventurous with the starting 11 because he's going to need to be.
United in the news. Sir Rangnick, speaking of the man.
Agents.
Coming out swinging. This headline here says it all. Manchester United's Anthony Martial wants to leave in January. His agent yipping again. I think he wanted to leave last January, right? Something.
He always wants to leave.
His agent talks. Nobody listens. Good riddance, Tony Martial. He came from France. English press said he couldn't press. Hired a manager that wanted him to press, and he decided that he... It's time to leave. This is basically it. You know what? It says a lot about a player when you hire a new manager and you don't even want to stay. It's like you have a fresh slate. You know, this is the one thing I don't understand about these players. Jesse Lingard, you have a clean slate, new manager, new system. Like he could step up. He can impress. He could show what he can do for the new manager. I even think Rangnick came out and said like glorying praise about Martial coming in. He said, oh, Tony Martial, great player. And then he takes that and tells his agent to get him out of here. So, look, this is the new era of football. You know, Paul Pogba, Manchester United is not good enough for him. It's not Tony Martial who's not good enough. It's Manchester United that's the problem. And that's the type of attitude a few players have. And it's time that we revert to the meritocracy. And if you don't want to be here, then get the hell out. And this is one of them where when a player tells his agent to go do this, sell him. sell, 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 always. Sir Alex Ferguson kicked him out the door, sir. Ruben Nistelrooy, David Beckham, on and on and on. You go down the list, just got rid of these great players because they soured, and when you sour, kick them out the door.
No, we need to return to that ethos, right? This whole thing of like these players thinking they're bigger than the team has to be cut out of the club, because great clubs, it has never allowed, never can be allowed. Rangnick not putting up with that. We're going to talk about the quotes he says in relation to Paul Pogba, Mr. always trying to leave. Can't wait for him to leave. But it always goes two different ways, sir. New manager comes in, players are either going to be all in or their agents are saying, get me the fuck out of here. And right, like Martial, not surprising.
Well, look at the quote.
We're talking about a full press manager, and he's not a big runner.
Well, here's the thing. Anthony wishes to leave the club in January. He needs to play. He doesn't want to stay in January. I will speak to the club soon. That's the quote from the agent. What does that say about this player? He's played. Ole came out with him in mind this season. He played horrid.
Didn't play well.
Every time he's come on, nothing. He like, and then here's the thing. He doesn't run ultimately, right? So it's like he doesn't want to work, and then when he plays, he doesn't even want to do well. Right. Obviously, he wants to perform, but the whole idea is that like he's not reevaluating himself. It's an issue with Manchester United. He's gotten so many opportunities and not taking them. At a certain point, you got to say, hey, something. I would actually say at this point, it's on Martial.
No, he ain't the guy. It's so, you know, obvious. What I'm saying?
It's like, where does he want to go play? In the French league somewhere? I guess. I don't know. Like
he can't. Hey. No, that's the move. I mean, he's 26. Every time he's had the opportunity to step up and be the guy, he hasn't.
He had one season. Dude, one season.
It's about time. Now it's, he had one season where he had like 20 goals.
He was the guy. He was the guy.
Yeah, but every other time he's had the opportunity to step up, he hasn't. And it's time to go. You know, it's like he's not going to fit into this new system. We need to get rid of the players that don't want to be here anyway, right? Like Lingard should have been sold in the summer. Pogba should have been sold. Should have never. I mean, dude, what did Fergie say? Fergie didn't bother with it because he was a pain back then. Came back in, sir. He's been trying to leave basically ever since he came into the club. So it's time for him to leave. Lingard, the Joneses of the world, like even players who have been more respectful, right? The Matas and the Matic, who have been class acts the entire time. Even them, it doesn't probably make the most sense. It's like Rangnick is going to need some time, sir. He probably needs at least a year and a half as the manager to kind of start getting things changing over. But it's not going to happen overnight, and I think we could still see some really ugly, poor performances in the meantime.
Well, it's almost like where you want to be in modern football, right? Is like, okay, you look at the Galacticos of Real Madrid and the money that they splash out, right? Historically, that whole sort of dream team isn't the way to build football clubs, right? Because it's not very sustainable. Look at what happened to Barcelona. Look at what happened to Real Madrid. The financials, all this stuff. Is you really need to be getting the up-and-coming young talent who buy in. It's essentially like you do exactly what you do with Ronaldo. You get a young talent coming out of Portugal. You bring him in. He gives you like a solid 5 to 6, and you sell him. You make money. I mean, ultimately, that is what's sustainable. You sprinkle in some academy players. You sprinkle in some vets.
Some world-class
stars. On the end of the spectrum, right? That's always been, sir, there's a soup. You need to get it just right. And I think a sustainable football club, like Ahmad, is a great buy. Like ultimately, if Facundo can get involved. Now, doing the Chelsea thing and buying too many and then loaning them out into oblivion, that doesn't work either. You need the right balance. You need a director of football who knows what they're doing, have a vision for the club. And as soon as the ego becomes too big, like with Tony Martial or with Paul Pogba, you sell them for a hefty fee. But you're not getting hefty fees for Tony Martial at the moment. You're not getting hefty fees for Paul Pogba at the moment. You're not getting hefty fees for Jesse Lingard at the moment. So the way the club just does business systematically is not good for footballing operations. It's not good for the cash balance either. And so there's these two things. You have the front office, sir. You have the transfer side of the front office. You have the director of football. And that is just not working because you're just keeping these bloated contracts around. You're keeping these players around who don't want to be here, hurting the locker room. It's just a shit show at the moment. And Rangnick's his refreshing comments, sir, moving on to Paul Pogba.
Let's hear the quote. This.
I wouldn't say he's not worth keeping, but of course players have to want to play and stay for a club. Even more so a big club like Manchester United. If a player does not want to play for a club like Manchester United, even in the long term, I don't think it makes sense to convince him to change his mind. There it goes. We've all been debating this for three years.
Baby.
He just came with the answer.
That's it. It's very simple. So I was thinking about this before we get into the Pogba thing. Was like, when's the rubber gonna hit the road? And talking about like our inability to kind of move contracts, right? I think that speaks to the ineffectiveness of Matt Judge, Jughead Judge, as we so eloquently call him. Obviously, Ed Woodward's reign. Dude, I think that's where this whole thing's going to blow up, is like, what's his aim? He's going to be as savage and straightforward and salty with the board about what they're doing. It's like, get rid of him. 10 million, 15 million. How can you not sell him? I think that's where this is all things going to go sour, sir, because they're not going to be able to listen to him. Everything.
I mean, in order to survive, you got to be able to sell players.
You do.
You have to
quickly,
be able to.
Quickly.
Like, Tony Martial, we could have shipped 2 years ago for a solid fee. Paul Pogba 2 years ago for a solid fee. Jesse Lingard 2 years ago for like a decent fee. Even West Ham would have taken him for like 20 something.
15.
And it's like, we're not, the thing is, you have to move dead weight, but it's like the Ed Woodward like over posturing in every deal. He's like, we're not going to pay that fee. We're going to pay so much less. And it's like, it's so, his negotiating strategy is just like, there's an element of just getting business done that they don't understand in the front office of Manchester United, where like sometimes you got to just take the hit just to get them off the books because you need to get somebody in. And it's all about, from a director of football perspective, looking at a midfield and saying, we can't play a whole season without more midfielders. But for some reason, that's not a priority for Manchester United. It's like, I just think at a certain point, the front office and everything, but like Rangnick's solving the problem. He's saying the right things. He said, why is Paul Pogba in Dubai? It's like, I wouldn't have let him do that.
Yeah.
Who let Paul Pogba go to Dubai? And the whole Pog saga goes, fell out with Mourinho, ultimately like helped get him sacked because he was at record money signing. Then he played lights out under Ole. Then Ole like put his arm around him and gave him too much rope. What do you do with that? Nothing.
Hung out the dry.
Couldn't show up against Villarreal in a Europa League Cup final. He gets injured. He just goes to Dubai, does whatever he wants. Who knows when he's coming back? And it's just like, this is it's a mockery of the team. This is Manchester United, and then this player doesn't want to stay. Why would we want him? And that's the ultimate point, which is like, Mino Raiola and Paul Pogba are in for a real one. Who is going to pay more money than we put on the
table? No, that's the big joke.
That's
right?
Really the
especially
joke.
Especially because we didn't even include that. Because out of respect, we don't include...
Oh, the Raiola.
Yeah, we didn't even include Mino's comments about United.
Oh, he's like, all these players...
City have won more titles than we have. He's just a fat troll, really, at the end of the day. We paid £40 million to him to bring in Paul Pogba 4 years ago, sir. So, like, thank you very much. And he lasts us all the way. We got to get rid of him. And we got to, you know what? Who cares about Haaland? Like, I don't want Haaland. Because if Haaland, you get Mino. It's like, we should just have a policy. And I think Real did, even though I think they're going for Haaland. You just don't do business with Mino Raiola's clients. And, like, shame on us, bro. Shame on us. And the story is, at the end of the day, is like, I hope Ralph can really get his hands in where he needs to and just be like, get him out, get players out. Whether it's not even personal about Paul Pogba, it's like Pogba, Lingard, Jones, etc. You can't have all these players stinging around that don't want to play for their club, sir.
It's a little personal with Paul Pogba.
Well, it's personal because he already left for free. He's going to leave for free again, laughing, making fun of us the whole way out. I mean, like, that's why it's personal.
Sir, made it personal. To all the young gentlemen out there, you know, the metaphor is like when you're dating, I'm obviously I'm an older sir, got kids, the wife, the whole deal. You know the 9 yards on this pot.
We. Yeah, we're both old.
But as a young man, sir, you realize at a certain point when you're chasing a girl around, it's like, she don't want to be with you, you don't want to be with her.
So what's the line? I know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Bro.
You
don't chase nobody.
No,
this is Manchester
ever.
United, and you should hold yourself in high regard when it comes to dating as well. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, what are we doing bending over backwards for Paul Pogba?
Exactly.
What has done? He won one World Cup, and I haven't seen him since, sir. I've seen a lot of hairdos or whatever. I haven't seen nothing from him, so why are we so worried about it? He should be gone. I'm surprised there's even a deal for Manchester United on the table based on his performances in the riffraff.
Shouldn't be, honestly.
We've been through with him. So at the end of the day, if you don't want Manchester United don't want you. And that's the way it should be, because you shouldn't be pitching Manchester United to Paul Pogba. We've seen 5 years of it. I like him as a player, but for some reason, he can't turn up for Manchester United. It's just something about Manchester United and Paul Pogba doesn't work, and that's all right. And he can go play well for PSG or Real Madrid or wherever. But I invite Mino Raiola to find more than the $400,000 a week that we have on the table. That's where I think it's going to be funny, is like, who's going to offer Pogba that wage?
No, he'll take a pay cut. Like, he'll actually have to take a pay cut.
No, but they're talking big money. He just said Bayern can't afford him. He's like, Bayern Munich isn't going to pay the money for Ball.
$20 million for him?
That's what I'm saying. They think he's the most valuable footballer in the world. Now, as far as Haaland...
Yeah, he's worth it.
He is worth it, 100%. But to say Paul Pogba's worth it after the last 5 years, I couldn't, like... I mean, he's got the name, but after what you saw, what he did at Manchester United, you think other clubs want to pay that top dollar?
No. And deal with Mino?
Exactly. So...
Let him have it, dude.
You talk about next thing is the Haaland comments.
That's the attitude is right. The most important thing about the news and this piece of news is Rangnick's attitude, which has got to be the Manchester United attitude, which is the attitude under Fergie, which is like nobody is bigger than the club. Nobody's even close to bigger than the club. And like the fact is he's been made
except
to believe
for this
that,
podcast.
That. Yeah, well, this podcast is bigger than a lot of stuff in our own crazy minds. But all I'm trying to get at is like he gets it. He talks like a manager of yore, sir. He was compared to Mengel in a stat, and he sounds like an old school Manchester United top man, club man, not just a manager, someone who is basically in control of the entire club and how we envision everything from the football inside of it. And that's what we need. Because that's how we've always run well, unfortunately. And we've just been relying on those kind of men. And we found one, and I think we have to go all the way in. And as long as, like, I think the board listen, and we give them time, because it's going to take a while. Because you got to get some of these personalities out. You got to get new people in that are all about it. And then give it time to gel. So I'm excited, but there's going to be a lot of agent talk in the meantime. There's going to be so much of this. Remember how much talk there was, like, when Ole was Dead Duck FC, just, like, quacking around? This is a different type. This is like the players knowing that there's like a new sheriff in town and then one out.
ASAP. Yeah, they don't like it.
No, they don't.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know what? If you're going to go to Dubai for God knows how long, you're going to go to Miami and shoot hoops. Like, yeah, dude, Rangnick is simple because it's like there's no option for not buying in. If you don't buy in, you're not going to play. And that's what Sir Alex was too, because at the end of the day, you don't have time to convince a professional to want to show up for one of the top clubs in all of the world. It's like, if this isn't good enough for you, find somewhere else. And that's how it should be at the end of the day for Manchester United. Speaking of the troll, Jabba the Hutt, Mino Raiola, came out big time on Haaland in the press saying Haaland wants to play for City.
Big clubs only.
Bayern,
big clubs like City.
Chelsea. I'm probably butchering. We don't have the article, but it basically was like, four big clubs.
Left us out.
Was it Madrid, Bayern?
Barca.
I don't know if he said Barca, but regardless of the fact, he basically purposely left out Manchester United. I think the idea of us signing Haaland is we've had two bites of the apple. Murtagh, our director of football, blew it because of the time zone. Could have gone for £3 million. Then with Ole, we really ran at it. And we said that it was about some sort of fees, but actually... apparently they decided to take a cheaper deal. That came from the Haaland camp. They didn't want to go to Manchester United. Mino Raiola spoiled that one, allegedly. But United came out and said that it's not like the girl didn't choose them. It was something to do with the fees. But actually it was...
I think it was the famous Ole photo, dude. It was the money, dude. It had to be money. They would never take less money, ever.
Well, I do think that if you... Well, I bet you that... We would have paid him more, but then sort of the sell-on numptiness.
It was
been,
the control of
so
it.
So he took less money, but they got more of that sell-on juice at Dortmund than they did. So Dortmund was always going to be the stepping stone, which honestly for him, I actually think that was the right move.
For sure.
Obviously, I wanted Haaland at United. That led to us getting Bruno Fernandes. It's not always bad, sir, at the end of the day. But Haaland's not going to play for Manchester United. I thought when Ole left, that opportunity went as well, honestly. But Haaland isn't really, it's not Haaland or bust anymore for Manchester United. It's really, we do need another striker. Odion Ighalo wasn't necessarily the guy. We got Cavani, Ronaldo, they're getting up there. Greenwood can come through, Rashford, etc. But I still think we need a solid, like, 26, 27-year-old number nine, someone to replace Tony Martial. Martial should be that guy. We don't have it. You know, I do think that we are going to need a striker. United probably won't sell one. We'll probably re-sign Cavani. We'll keep doing this whole, like, patchwork ordeal, but you know it's kind of that one kind of hurts that we're not even in the running because we've heard so much Haaland smoke, and today Raiola coming out saying a lot of things. He says a lot of things. I don't take it at face value because like Paul Pogba might play for Manchester United. I don't want that to happen, but it comes down to the money, right? And we have an offer on the table since July.
Sir, so you want to pay this guy $1 million a week to talk shit? It's like I'm good on Haaland. Like Haaland's a great player, but this is a great storied club. And there are some really good players here. Our academy is honestly one of the finest academies in Europe at the moment. We have so much good talent in the academy. We can always attract top players. Let's get rid of the players that don't want to be here. Think how much wage that's going to clear up by just getting rid of Pogba, Lingard, Mata, Jones. Like, there's just so much wage money right there. Like, and then you can buy a big striker who's not Holland, who's not a Mino Raiola client. There's that... where is he? Is he Croatian? The guy that's playing in for Fiorentino? Like, proper giant of a lad. He's like a poor man's Holland. Like, go after him. So there's other good talent in Europe. There's always good talent. Like you said, we blew our chances on Holland.
Yeah, exactly.
The $2 million when you could sign him at like 18, that was the chance. We whiffed. Whatever. It wasn't meant to be. Who gives a shit? We almost signed Ronaldinho under Fergie. We didn't.
But what Holland... But here's, meant here's
to
also
be.
The
One
thing.
Of those things, like, wasn't meant to be.
Does Holland make us better right now? Probably not. Sir, a midfielder makes us better right now.
Defense.
You know, ultimately. And so it's like, I like the whole Deadwood FC killing that name. But at the end of the day, sir, you said it. Will the board listen to Rangnick? Will the board, will Eddie Woodward, Eddie Fourfingers, pen a deal with Pogba and leave that on his doorstep? That's the whole thing.
Jughead, baby. Jughead. What's Jughead going to do this summer?
I don't know. Jumping into fan questions from Instagram. If you don't follow us on Instagram, you should check it out. _ Danny Brown _ Rashford's clearly lacking confidence. Doesn't look himself. Didn't see too much Rangnick pressing today. I would say that's true. Rashford seems off.
We also didn't like see all the great stuff we saw against Palace that we were so excited about, which is that high press, which is that high back line. It was like we were so open. And I don't know. It didn't feel like Rangnick ball at all today, other than the presser.
Felt like Ole ball all over again. At United for Life on Twitter, quote, what changes would you make for the Brentford game? Also, were you guys happy with the sub Sancho over Rashford and VDB getting his usual 5 minutes while Bruno was so wasteful? Yeah, I think with the subs, I would have made him a little earlier. I would have yanked Rashford earlier. He's just been off. And I like getting Donny in the mix for Bruno, because when Bruno's wasteful, it kind of goes that way.
And I also feel like you need someone right next to Bruno to sometimes bring the best out in Bruno. Like, whereas, you know, there was very clearly like Ronaldo didn't look great until his pen. Rashford didn't look great. He was wasteful of the ball. And I also think like the McFred combo with cheese today, you know, wasn't as kind of impactful in his ability to cut through the lines. I would have liked to see like a Matic or a Donny a little bit deeper, just something different, something earlier, because it clearly wasn't working. It wasn't working in the first half. It wasn't working in the second half. You would like to see more impetus to make changes, but maybe it was because he made so many changes last time and you didn't want to. I don't know.
Well, when it comes to Rangnick, the question will be, we haven't seen him rotate at all, right? The same 11 against Crystal Palace, same 11 today. That's going to change against Brentford. And who does he bring in and how does he set up? That will be very interesting to see. And how does it come off? Because I would have thought he would have made at least one change coming into today based on what he saw against Crystal Palace. The Sancho over Rashford, same thing. He did that same thing in that game, and I thought Rashford was not good. So he hasn't showed us a lot, sir. Rangnick's been pretty close to the vest. At Ty Kircher here, 3 points, clean sheet, Ronaldo goal. What are we whinging about? We still struggle to break down pack sides, but I'll never turn down 3 points. What do you think of Rashford? Seems off.
He needs a drop, you know? It's kind of like that... Rooneyism. You know, I just feel like his head's not in it. Yeah, he was definitely a player that looked very good under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, has some very high highs under him. I think the transition was always going to be a little bit difficult for Rashi, especially. So I think, you know, probably needs a drop. I think there's some really exciting talent ready to go in Ahmad and Alonga. Like, they could have an impact. They could have come on today and played some good football.
Sir, it's just like we need to go to football school.
Yeah, we need to go to
we like you
everyone
can't
else
blame
needs
Rashford.
To go to Dubai, sir. Like the, Rashford, the team needs to go to Dubai.
Rashford's like up for it. Like, here's the thing about Marcus Rashford. He's up for it. He'll run around. But the thing is, like, it's just so unproductive how we've been playing for so long that it's almost like Rashford doesn't know how to press in a system. He doesn't know like his decision making has just been hero ball for so long. It's just hard to sort it. I think all players are going to need a lot of Rangnick, him taking him to school, because schoolboy errors today, like just really bad looking football, really bad mistakes leading to pressure that's unnecessary. It's upstairs, sir, that psychologist. He's going to be working overtime. At Jared United, Phew, sirs, tough day at the office in Norwich. I'll take a penalty and those 3 points all day. A couple of players look like they need some time with the new shrink. Speaking of, I wanted to hear Davey T underscore quote, 3 points on to the next, sir. We just could have read that tweet and just finished the pod an hour ago. That's honestly, it. 3 points on to the next.
That's it.
But, you know, saves. You love getting into the Rangnick telling the who Paul Pogba, where's he at? Is that why is he out there?
That was the highlight. I think the whole team needs to go to Dubai.
Paul Pogba.
They need like a warm weather training, sir. Like we need summer preseason.
I don't think we need cold weather training. We need hard. We need
to be like, hard. It's been pretty hard. I'll tell you what, the weather's been pretty hard for Rangnick coming in.
All right, that is the podcast. Thank you for everyone listening. We are the American Red Devils. We're for fans, by fans. You want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Do a behind-the-scenes episode every month. Like I said, there's a few tiers. You can support us there. Please check it out. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Just put up some new, amazing mobile wallpapers for your iPhone. We got some vector art of the players that look really cool. Our logo, some Manchester United logos. Check it out. You can click on wallpaper there. I put them all together. Click on store. Check out our merchandise. Alex is wearing the hoodie and the beanie today. It's a little cold out on the West Coast. Everything you buy supports the podcast. We also have some amazing posters. That Stanley Chow logo is absolutely fire. Please check out our online store. Write a review on iTunes, sir. Give us our top downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? I know it's cold there in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Ooh, it snowed. It actually snowed in Minneapolis yesterday.
We got snow headed to Cali. Cairo, Egypt. Boardman, Oregon. Maghull, United Kingdom. Houston, Texas. Brooklyn, New York. Pearland, Texas, New York, Chicago, Illinois, and last but not least, Taunton, Massachusetts. We also have Johannesburg on the list, sir. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out, sir. The games are coming thick and fast. We got a game Tuesday, Brentford, weekend, Brighton, big matches.
4:30 Brighton. 4:30 Brighton.
Can't wait, sir. Can't wait.
Sir, you're going to leave us with a... This song is actually a very interesting song. There's actually a history behind it. It's Who the F Are Man United, sir. You know, you can say it on the pod. But essentially, it was a song that was sung by the Scouse Bastards to Manchester United because we didn't have as many titles as they did. And then as Manchester United started winning more than other clubs, sir, we started singing it back. So this song was...
Very United, which is very United.
This song... did not start out as a Manchester United song. This was a taunting song towards Manchester United. And then since, you know, the story happened, sir, the impossible dream, greatest of English football. We've won it all. Now we sing it to our rivals. Sir, play this song. Let us out today. Everybody have a great weekend. Who the fuck are Man United, sir?
Don't let them forget it.
Absolutely not.
Because we are so good. We now set the standards up, we always have to follow. Still the nation sing. Robson White's a cancellor, Geeks and all the rest. Fergie and his fledglings will never flee the nest. From still the nation sing. When Beckham left as well, he said you want to cry. We're champions of Europe and of England, it's no lie. But still, the nation sing.